You are listening to Arise, Actualize Your Spiritual Potential, Lessons from the Bhagavad Gita. Part 7, The Choice is Ours.
I want to begin this morning's message with the quote that you find on the front of your study lesson today, which is from Swami Vivekananda. He's credited with being the person who opened up East-West dialogue, the dialogue between the religions of the world in America. He's the one who came to the first Parliament of the World's Religions in 1893 in Chicago and spoke this kind of truth. And he addressed the crowd, brothers and sisters of America, and somehow they all went wild. And it wasn't so much his words as his consciousness of the truth of the oneness of all people. When you read his words, it's said that he spoke with a voice of thunder, and I think you can feel it in his words this morning. I'm going to begin with the words from Swami Vivekananda. We are responsible for what we are, and whatever we wish ourselves to be, we have the power to make ourselves. Can you hear the voice of thunder? We are responsible for what we are, and whatever we wish ourselves to be, we have the power to make ourselves. If what we are now has been the result of our own past actions, it certainly follows that whatever we wish to be in the future can be produced by our present actions. So we have to know how to act. When I was visiting Milwaukee, the retreat center where I stayed had a rock with a saying carved in it by Ralph Waldo Emerson, also along these same lines. And this quote from Emerson is, "Shallow people believe in luck. They believe in circumstances. Strong people believe in cause and effect." Last week's lesson was focused on discernment, on understanding the allegorical nature of this battlefield that is the scene for the Bhagavad Gita. And in last week's chapters, we looked at this teaching about the nature of the field itself in which the battle is occurring. We learned that this field that the Gita refers to, where the dialogue is taking place between the higher self, between God and the seeking soul, Krishna and Arjuna, that this battlefield is our own body and mind. This is the field. That field has certain qualities which allows it to be created, that all of creation has certain qualities, the quality of luminosity, of clarity and peace, the quality of activity, of restlessness and passion, and the quality of inertia and confusion. Those three qualities go to make up the field, the body, mind, and everything else in nature. Although that field is part of us as the body, mind, we are actually not the field, but we are the knowers of the field because we observe the field, do we not? We observe what is occurring in the body, mind, with all of its tendencies. And so the knower of the field is the divine self, which is our own true nature. This was our topic last week, and this week we move forward now to chapter 16, which says, be aware of how these qualities in nature go now to contribute either to what we will call the higher qualities or the lower qualities, and that you as a human being have a choice to make about which you will identify with and which you will bring forth in your own life. And this choice that you make is a choice that will determine your own freedom or bondage, your own suffering, your own happiness. We are told right away in chapter 16 that it is the certain destiny of every person to awaken to their divine nature. this whole lesson about the power of choice says, and we could look at it this way, yes, everybody's going to wake up sometime, but why not choose to live in the highest way and awaken to your freedom sooner rather than later? Isn't that a good idea? So that's basically what we have here, an overview of this chapter 16. It says, yes, you will awaken, but it's a good idea to cooperate with your own awakening by using your discernment and making wise choices by committing yourself to live in the highest way. Then in chapter 16, we find instruction about the three doors that lead to destruction. The three doors to avoid because they only lead to unhappiness and suffering. And I can't help but see this image in my mind when I hear this teaching about the three doors, that these are really the kind of reality shows that we should have on TV. You know how they have the people there and they know what's behind that door. I said, identify what these three doors are. Don't go there, right? That would be a great show. And then you could see what happens if you go through that door, what your life is going to look like. Chapter 16, verse 6 says, there are two classifications of beings in this world, the divine and the deluded. We find, of course, that those qualities reside in all of us, the divine qualities and those qualities that lead to our delusion. Those beings that we say are divine are those who have actualized their divine qualities. They're those where the light of God is shining clearly through them. They are making their choices in harmony with the way of righteousness. We hear the teaching, seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Those divine beings are the ones who are seeing clearly and will say, choosing rightly. They're manifesting their divinity. The deluded are those with clouded reason, those whose poor choices become habitual, and those habits begin to shape their character and then their life. Because we are spiritual beings, we are that light itself. We have the opportunity to choose for ourselves the divine way and to let our light shine and to avoid the suffering that accompanies the way of unconscious living, which is fairly common in the human condition. Is that true? Yes, we can observe it. This morning's scripture reading, if you want to take out your study lesson, we find in chapter 16, the first three verses are a description of our divine nature, of the divine qualities that are in us. And I want to tell you that when I first read this chapter in the Gita many years ago, I thought this was such an awesome list. So I wrote it out for myself. In longhand, I wrote this list and I put it on my altar where I could see it every day when I meditated and I prayed. And I wanted to cultivate those qualities in my life. Those are the first three verses. And then luckily, we only have one verse, verse 4, that's listing the qualities that come with the lower nature. And then the fifth verse tells us about where our choices will lead. And then verses 21 and 22 tell us about those three doors and names them for us. As I go further in the message this morning, I'm going to talk a little bit more about the doors. Let's have our scripture reading. Let's begin now with chapter 16, verse 1. Fearlessness, purity of heart, abiding in yoga, unity consciousness, along with knowledge, charitable giving, self-restraint and holy offerings, study of sacred texts, austerity, discipline practices, and uprightness, nonviolence, truth, absence of anger, renunciation, serenity, freedom from finding fault, compassion for all beings, absence of cravings, gentleness, modesty, steadiness, vigor, forgiveness, fortitude, purity, freedom from malice and from pride. These are the endowments of those born to a divine destiny. Hypocrisy, arrogance, pride, anger, violence, insolence, and ignorance are the endowments of those born to a lower destiny. The divine destiny leads to liberation. The lower destiny leads to bondage. Do not grieve. You are born with a divine destiny. The doors to destructive circumstances are threefold: desire, anger, and greed. These should be abandoned. Released from these three doors to darkness, one does what is best for the soul and goes to the highest goal. Now we have named those three doors, and we know which ones we are instructed not to go through. I want to follow up now with some teachings from the Buddha on one of the doors. There's a chapter in the Dhammapada on anger. And you'll find this teaching very similar. Let go of anger. Let go of pride. When you are bound by nothing, you go beyond sorrow. Anger is like a chariot careening wildly. One who curbs their anger is the true charioteer. Others merely hold the reins. Can you get a sense of this, what it's like with anger? Sometimes you just feel like you're in the wagon and it's going, right? You might not even have a hold of the reins. It just might be the horses taking off, careening wildly, and you're just blown back in the wind of it. Other times you might be holding the reins but not steering. And here it says, one who curbs is the true charioteer. Others merely hold the reins. With gentleness, overcome anger. With generosity, overcome meanness. With truth, overcome deceit. Speak the truth. Give whatever you can, and never be angry. These three steps will lead you into the presence of God. Beware of the anger of the body. Master the body. Let it serve truth. Beware of the anger of the mouth. Master your words. Let them serve truth. Beware of the anger of the mind. Master your thoughts. Let them serve truth. The wise have mastered body, word, and mind. They are the true masters. I am thinking about when I first came across this reading in the Dhammapada, I was stunned at this reading about the nature of anger. I could see it, and I could see what happens when we make that choice to simply go with it. Because we are not seeing clearly, and we don't have a sense beyond the moment. We don't have a sense about the suffering that's going to come in the wake of it. And I was stunned when I read that one line that said, never be angry. I said, whoops. I was really curious about that line. And I thought, how could that be possible? And then, what if you are? So I really reflected on this teaching. I came to have a sense that at the deepest level, it is telling us not to be that. Don't become so overcome by your anger that you become it. Don't be it. Do not confuse your existence with something like anger or lust or greed. Don't lose yourself. Anger may arise as part of human nature. There may be patterns in your mind and your consciousness, and you come into the right situation and anger arises. But what this teaching says is the door may open. Don't go through it. In that moment, you have a choice. Don't go through it. But then, of course, there's another moment of choice after you do go through the door. Right? Then you can turn around. If you have the commitment, and that is the key, that is the foundation, the commitment to choose what is called the higher way. Because you see where the lower choice is ultimately going to lead in terms of your own loss of self, your own loss of freedom, your own loss of happiness, and the suffering that will bring for you and for others around you. The instruction is, don't go through the door. If it opens up and you do go through, turn around. Now, we can study ourselves. And this is a powerful way for us to engage in spiritual practice. And I have found that as I'm offering lessons on Sunday morning, and this has been true for years, the many years that I've been doing it, that whatever topic I choose to share about on Sunday morning, I get the opportunity to practice during the week. And so it was that this week I found myself engaged in a little cloudburst of anger. Even while I am raising my voice at a fairly unacceptable level, I am thinking, wait a minute, you're giving a sermon on this week. Get a grip on yourself. So there is this conscious witness. Even when the door has opened and we've gone through it, we still have this conscious awareness. I backed out of the door. I was aware of the anger of the body. I went into the other room. I shut that door. I said, I'm sorry. It wasn't very sincere, but it was a step. But then I noticed. So I dealt with the anger of the body, the anger of the mouth, pretty well. And then there is the anger of the mind. So even after I left the room, I stopped saying those things. I said, I'm sorry. The mind still wants to be through the door because the mind is saying, well, yeah, you said you're sorry, but really it's his fault. And he's the one who should be apologizing. This is what the mind does. And if you observe, this is the power that we have of choice. If you observe, you know that it is your choice that you make for yourself. It has nothing to do with the other person. And that no person has the power to make you angry. It's nobody's fault. It is the choice that you made, and if you're in your room with the door closed going over how it's their fault, you're still making that choice. And so it is an opportunity then to choose again. There's a poem by Swami Chittanananda I like on this topic. It's called Wisdom. He says, burning takes place when attachment starts to get severed or some error starts to unwind, some crossed wire or wrong thinking. Burning takes place when attachment starts to get severed or some error starts to unwind, some crossed wire or wrong thinking. When we see it, we should take responsibility for it. everybody defends themselves. Everybody defends themselves. You think you can't possibly be wrong. It has to be somebody else's fault, somebody else's error. And with this attitude, you will slow burn for the next 20 million years. I think it is a moderate estimate. That slow burn is called worldly life. But when you take responsibility for your behavior, for your mistakes, for your wrong thinking and correct them, when you take responsibility for your behavior, for your mistakes, your wrong thinking, and correct them, then burning doesn't take long. And the light it gives off is brilliant. This morning we are reminded, in chapter 16, of the choice that we have. I want to conclude with a sweet story from the Native American tradition, a story about old Cherokee grandfather teaching his grandson about the nature of life. And he says to the young boy, grandson, he says, a fight is going on inside of me. And it's a terrible fight between two wolves. One wolf, he says, is evil. He is full of anger, envy, sorrow, regret. It's number 4 on the list, this wolf. Guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. The grandfather continues in his instruction of his grandson, and he said, but the other wolf is good. He is full of joy, peace, love. This is number 1 through 3. Serenity, humility, kindness, generosity, empathy, truth, compassion, and faith. And he says, grandson, that same fight is going on inside of you. And it's going on inside of every other person, too. The grandson was listening intently, and he grew very quiet. And he said, but Grandpa, which wolf will win? And his grandfather said to him, the one that you feed. And so it is that we are to feed the divine qualities within us, by nurturing them, and by choosing to live in the highest way. Let's conclude the message this morning with our affirmation by touching in on the divine qualities within us and calling them forth. I will say it first, take a moment to adjust and to get in touch with your feeling nature. This is key in offering affirmation, that you're speaking about the soul level of your being. You're speaking about your divine qualities, not about your past, not about your mistakes. You're speaking about the highest good that is in you. So I'll say it first, and then we'll say it together. I cultivate and choose those behaviors that are consistent with my divine nature. Together. I cultivate and choose those behaviors that are consistent with my divine nature. My heart is pure, and I am free from fear, anger, fault-finding, or pride. My heart is pure, and I am free from fear, anger, fault-finding, or pride. I meet others in the spirit of love, forgiveness, and compassion. I meet others in the spirit of love, forgiveness, and compassion. This is what I give to others, and this is what I choose for myself today. This is what I give to others, and this is what I choose for myself today. Namaste.